Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbak ya arhamar rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you for your love, ya Allah. We ask you for the love of those actions that will gain your love. And ya Allah, we ask you for the love of those people who you love, ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma akfina bi halalika an haramik wa aghnina bi fadlik amman siwak ya wasi al-maghfirah. Ya Allah, we ask you to make what is halal enough for us so that we don't ever turn to haram, ya Allah. We ask you to enrich us, ya Allah, with your bounty and your grace, ya Allah, so that we don't need anyone other than you, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ameen. Bismillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us coming together for our, I think, 11th session of Ar-Risala Al-Mustarshideen by Imam Muhasibi, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's been a very beautiful session where we're going through just the gems and the advice that the Imam is giving us throughout this book. Last week, we had a beautiful session. If you weren't here last week, I highly, highly recommend you check out last week's session because we talked about something that can drastically alter how you interact with people. We talked about this concept in Arabic is called mudarat. And what that basically means is generally speaking, when you see something wrong, right? Like when your iman is rising, right? And you see something wrong, it like bugs you, right? It's like, oh man, that's wrong. Like, because that displeases Allah. And you know that that thing is hurting the person, right? And so it bugs you inside. And so you want to change that thing, right? You want that thing to be changed in that person. And so because of that, there's this obligation within ourselves, morally, ethically, from the religion to like change that wrong that we see. But what we find with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sometimes he was interacting with people, and we gave this beautiful example. And I'm not going to go over all of last week's thing, but I just last point: the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his house with Aisha radiallahu anha, and this man asked to come into the house. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like, "Okay, let him in." But right before he came in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he leaned over to Aisha and he's like, "Yo, this man is a horrible guy. This man's really messed up, right?" And then when he came in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, I don't know if he dapped him up, whatever, but you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was like, "Salaam alaikum, what's going on? How you doing? How's the fam?" And he was so nice with him, and everything was great. It was great. And then when he left, Aisha was like, "Yo, isn't that like hypocrisy?" Basically, that was the summary of what she asked. "Isn't that nifaq?" And he said, No. The worst of people are those who you're nice to them just to save you from their evil." And so what we learned from that last week is sometimes, you know, you interact with a person in one way because your ultimate goal is actually to bring a reform in that person's life. And so what happens is you're chilling with them. You're like, let's kick it. Let's chill. The whole time you're chilling, they're doing things that are haram or you don't like, or you know, that are wrong. But your intention inside is like, "Nah, man, I'm gonna get this brother. I'm gonna get this sister to pray Maghrib with me today." You know what I'm saying? "I'm gonna get this brother. I'm gonna get this sister to Salli Isha with me today." And slowly we're bringing that person to change. So one of the last things I wanted to say is sometimes the community gets very judgmental of people. So you see someone who you know that they know that thing is wrong. Check this out. Community gets mad judgmental. You see somebody like an imam who you know that they know that thing is wrong right there. but they seem to be complacent, or they seem to be okay with chilling with such and such, or letting that thing. So you pull the imam to the side and you're like, yo, or you don't pull him to the side. You're like, yo, imam is fake, yo. Imam is fake. I sat in his dars. I know that thing is haram. This lesson we did last week gives you the insight to be like, ah, nah, he's two steps ahead. He knows that's haram. I know that's haram or makruh. But the goal, the intention is to bring that person closer and to work slowly behind the scenes. And so that's what we talked about last week. If you weren't here, please check out the recording from last week, inshallah ta'ala. Today, we're going to talk about something different. Today, we're actually going to read one line of Imam Muhasibi, but the line is really deep and there's so much that we can learn from it. So it's not about, you know, the quantity, but we just want to get the best out of it. So the Imam Rahimullah, this is what he says. Bismillah. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى, the author of the book, he says, وآثر الصدق في كل مواطن تغنم. He says, give preference to the truth or honesty. Write this one down. Give preference to the truth or honesty. في كل موطن. In every single situation that you're in. تغنم. You will gain the bounties of that. You will gain the bounties of it. Let me say it one more time. وآثر, the word آثَرَ is when you give preference. When you give preference of like one person over another, that's آثَرَةً, right? That's the word آثَرَ means. So he's saying, give preference to honesty, obviously over lies, dishonesty. فِي كُلِّ مَوَاتٍ, in every single situation that you find yourself in. تَغْنَمْ. The word تَغْنَمْ comes from an Arabic word which means like the spoils of war. So like in the old days, if there was a war, probably nowadays too, if there's a war, then the people who win, they get all of these things, the spoils of the war, right? So what he's trying to say is, if you're honest in every situation that you're in, you're going to find yourself gaining so much from that. So much from that. So now honesty, I mean, like ever since day one of Sunday school, I mean, even before, we've learned the concept of the speaking the truth, right? Being a truthful Muslim, that's something core. It's like, all right, yeah, I know I'm supposed to speak the truth. I'm supposed to be honest. But what I like to do in these classes, and I think all of you know that in these halaqas, what we do is we take a basic concept that we've already known, and we're like, yo, this has a lot more layers than just the basic layer of just being honest. And so I'm going to share with you Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, his concept of what honesty truly means. The word siddiq in Arabic means to be true or to be honest. But what does that mean for a Muslim, and what does it mean for my spiritual elevation? Before I go into this, I have to preface this whole conversation about honesty on one thing. We live in hyper fake times. We live in hype. Is that a term, hyper fake? I don't know. Like, huh? I just coined it. That's it right there. Hyper fake. What do I mean? The words people say aren't true. Even the concerns that people express aren't true. You feel me on that? I'm going to say that one more time. The concerns, oh, I'm really worried about such and such. No, you ain't. You ain't worried about such and such. You're trying to show us you're concerned about such and such, but are you really concerned for her or him or them? Appearances, oh my God, don't get me started. Appearances, I mean, we filtered up. Everything is not what you see, right? I'm just going to leave it at that, right? Before I get in trouble. And then intentions. So when we talk about honesty, I think everyone should take a step back. And if you just looked at your social media feed and just saw how much fakeness is out there, then you'll realize like, wait, let me get back to my core of honesty and what it means to be honest and to be true as a believer. So let's talk about this word siddiq or honesty. The word in Arabic, I'm going to say the word over and over again. So just get the word. The word in Arabic is siddiq, right? It means to be true or to be honest. The basic fundamental aspect of being true in Islam is when the external of something and the internal of that thing, the reality of it, are equal to one another. They're the exact same thing. And the concept of kidhib, like lying in Islam, the concept of kidhib is when the external is actually different than the internal. When the external is different than the internal. So that's the concept of kidhib. Now, Imam Ghazali, he says, and this is where I need you to take notes or mental notes. Imam Ghazali, he says that there are six areas of our life that we have to master siddiq in. Siddiq means honesty, right? Again, there are six areas that we have to master honesty in. All right. And what I think we need to understand is that the way the human psyche is made is like we are the best liars to ourselves. Like we are masters at lying to we lie about our height on our like driver's license. We lie about our weight. Like, why you write that? Because I'm a be that, yo. That's why I'm going to get. I'm a be there, yo. So I can write it now because I'm gonna reach that weight. You know what I mean? If someone asks you your salary, well, we don't tell people salary, but you know, we include the bonus we ain't even get yet. You know what I'm saying? So the concept, the idea here is I really need us to understand, and really in this lesson today, what I want you to walk out thinking, and this is what was bothering me the whole time, is like, how much am I lying to myself? How much am I lying to myself? Because if you're not aware of the self-deception that we do to ourselves, then you won't be able to start and rectify and deal with who you actually are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, okay, if you have a family member who ever went to like, you know, one of those places you go to get therapy, right? Like for like drug addiction or alcohol abuse, right? One of the first things that they teach you, I know because I had, you know, family that actually worked like right in the heart of it. One of the first things that they make you do is like admit who you are. So like every class, it'd be like, yeah, my name's Michael and I'm an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. Now, why is that so important? If you think about it, it's actually really interesting. And I'm going to get into the lesson. You know what we do? And I'm going to advise this for everyone. Whenever you have a habit that you don't like, you do, don't use the verbal form when you talk about it. Use the nominal form. So let me give an example. Like, let's just use lying because it's the first thing that comes up to mind. Like cheat. Let's use cheating, okay? So when you describe yourself and someone asks you, like, do you cheat? You'd be like, yeah, I cheated. If you were honest, you'd be like, I've cheated before. Like, I cheated on an exam. But would you ever call yourself a cheater? You'd be like, no, I ain't no cheater. I ain't a cheater. Somebody, yo, do you smoke? Are you a smoker? Yeah, I mean, every now and once, hookah here and there. Like, see, what happens is, and the reason this happens is because a nominal form is more correct, connected to your identity. It's more, this should have been moved over a little bit, but okay. The nominal form is more connected to identity. When you, it's all good. It's all good, Makari. It's all good. It's all good. They're all set. I'm just saying. It's all good. It's for real. It's all good. The nominal form, do you feel me on this point? This is very important. Let me give a better example. Do you miss prayers? If you're talking to yourself, you've been like, yeah, I miss some prayers. But are you going to call yourself like, yo, I'm a misser of prayers? You're like, no, I pray. I'm a prayer. You feel me? So I think one of the things that helps us fight that self-deception is instead of using the verbal form when you describe these flaws that we have, use the nominal form and you're going to feel this cringe like, oh, dang. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. It's very important way of like overcoming the self-deception of be like, oh, I do this occasionally. If you have a good friend, they're going to call you up like, yo, what you talking about? You smoke hookah all the time, bro. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not, everyone has their own things they're dealing with. But but the self will be like, no, we just do this occasionally. So I think that's a very important tactic that a person can use in order to get away from the rationalization of the self, the defense mechanism of the self. All of these are ways that your self is going to reject the truth. And today's lesson is about being true to the truth. So let's go into it, inshallah ta'ala. Here's the thing. What's the advantage of speaking the truth? And this is not my quote. I can't remember who said it. One of the advantages of speaking the truth is that you never have to remember what you said. One of the advantages of speaking the truth, you never got to remember. What did I say to my man? You don't got to remember because you spoke the truth. But when you lie, then you got to start playing back. Okay, I told this person that. I told that, I told Mikhail that, I told this person that. And so the thing, one of the things I think is very important is to understand what lies do. Lies is like they're hydro, because what they do is you tell a lie with one intent. And the Arabs, they say this, al-kidhib yajurru al-kidhib. Crazy statement. Al-jidhib, al-kidhib yajurru al-kidhib. It means one lie pulls the next, like the thread on the bottom of your whatever. You say that one lie, and now you got to back it up with 20 more lies, and you forgot the first lie that you even said. So just remember that, just bring the truth. The truth will guide us all the time. So he says here that Imam Muhasibi says, give preference to the truth in every situation, taghnam, and you will get the benefit of that. And then he quotes a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ الصِّدَقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِ. Truth, the truth will always guide you to righteousness. When you're true to yourself, you'll know who you are, and it will allow you to rectify yourself and guide yourself to what is correct. وَالْبِرْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الرِّضَاءِ اللَّهِ. And goodness guides you to the pleasure of God. وَالْكِذِبْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Lies will lead you to more sin. وَالْفُجُورِ. And more sin will gain you the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so now let's look at these six areas that Imam Ghazali teaches us where you should focus on siddiq, or being honest and true in your life. Number one, the most basic of all, a siddiq fil qawl. It means truth in speech. Just that you don't lie, you speak the truth, you speak exactly what it is. Number two, I'm gonna say all of them and then we'll go through each one. Number two, a siddiq fil niyya. Honesty in your intentions. Honesty in your intentions. That's number two. Number three, a siddiq fil azam. Honesty in your resolve, your determination, what you're determined to do. Number four, a siddiq fil wafa'i bil azam. Honesty in your intent to fulfill your resolve. It's number four. Number five, siddiq fil amal. Honesty in your actions. And the last one, number six, siddiq fi tahqiq maqamat ad-din. Honesty in reaching the stations or levels of faith. And I'm going to go through all of these, inshallah. Everyone got all six of them? Everyone got all six? In speech, intention, resolve, fulfilling your promise, your word, actions, and in reaching the levels of faith. So let's go to the first one. It's actually a pretty interesting one. Siddiq fil qawl, number one, being true in speech. This is basic. We all understand this, speaking the truth. But in reality, Imam Ghazali says there's two deeper levels of honesty in speech. He says, number one, the deeper level of honesty in speech is to avoid white lies. White lies. That was the first time I realized, like, is a white lie not a, you know? I was kind of like, okay. And somebody was woke. You know what I mean? To avoid white lies. To avoid white lies. Meaning avoidance of truth. So here's the deal. This is actually a really touchy area, because in Islam, you're actually allowed to actually lie in certain situations. Right? You're allowed to actually lie, to state something other than the truth in certain situations. People already smiling. I didn't even get into it. Here's some examples. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was gifted some food. An auntie from the community gave him some good food. By the way, we have food for everyone. Some nice African food. It ain't Desi or Arab food, all right? Got some African food, alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi was once gifted food from an auntie in the community. The Prophet ﷺ's habit was, if he had something and someone asked, he would give it. So he gave the food to someone else. A few days later, the auntie sees the Prophet ﷺ and she's like, how's my food? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? I didn't taste your food. Break her heart. He said, your food is always good. Your food is always good, auntie. Alhamdulillah, he kept her heart. He made her heart feel good. Another example of the so-called kithib of the Rasul, the lie. We don't want to use the word lie with the Prophet, but you get my point in the context. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was going on a journey for war, right? Like say the Prophet ﷺ had an enemy that they were attacking in the east. The Prophet ﷺ would intentionally set out to the west, right? To give the impression we're going this way, just in case there's spies and people doing reconnaissance, they would think, oh, the Prophet's going that way. Then he would loop around. He'd come the other way. He's showing something other than his actual intent. The Prophet ﷺ in another clear hadith. Now, this is a very important hadith. The Prophet ﷺ in a hadith, he said, "Laysa bi kadhab man aslaha bayna ithnain." The one who brings two people together is not a liar. فَقَالَ خَيْرٌ أَوْ نَمَى خَيْرًا. They say good things and they pass on good words. What is this talking about? This is, most of you should know this, if there's two people who got beef with one another, the Prophet says that it's allowed in that situation. You go to Ahmed, who's got beef with Muhammad, and you say, yo, Ahmed, man, Muhammad, man, he was saying all this good stuff about you, man. Muhammad didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing. And you're like, yo, Ahmed, man, he was saying this, whatever. And then you go to Muhammad, you're like, yo, I was just chilling with Ahmed. He was saying this. Now, all of a sudden, you use this lie to bring these two people together. Now, you better be careful, because when they get together, they're like, I heard you said this, and you in the middle, you look really silly. But the point is actually that the Prophet used the word, laysa bi kadhabin. This person is not a liar. Now, this is interesting because the person is actually a So he's lying, but the intent, and this is very important. We're actually going to get to the next one, but here's what I'm going to say, because once we know there's a loophole where you can lie, all of a sudden the nafs goes, yo, I heard the lecture. That's all I heard all day. No, this is super important. Everyone, please check yourself. This all comes down to intention. This all comes back down to intention. You have to truly be able to look inside your heart and know what that true intention inside is behind that lie that you're saying. You really got to dig deep and make sure that this is not for your own nafs or for some other reason. Now, the scholars say this though, even, hear me out on this, please. Even in the scenarios where you are allowed to lie, there's a term that they use called ta'arif. Ta'arif is when you just don't state the truth, not when you lie. Everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about. Let me give an example. Maulana Qasim Nanotawi, he was like a leading scholar of British-occupied India. His name is Maulana Qasim Nanotawi. He was wanted by the Brits. Like he dead or alive, we want him. He's a leading scholar, founder of like Deoband and all of this, right? But this man was super low-key. Extremely humble, great scholar, but he would just be in the masjid, sweeping up the masjid. You wouldn't know him. Like you wouldn't, he's not sitting like, you know, the main spot, he's chilling, low back. No one knows who he is. So some of the British officials, they're searching for him actively. They know he's in this town. He lives here. We know he prays at this masjid. They walk into the masjid and he's in the masjid, sweeping the masjid, right? And they're like, we're looking for Muhammad Qasim. We're looking for Muhammad Qasim right now. So what he does, this is mashallah. What he does is he's got the broom in his hand. He takes one step back and he was like, man, he was just right here. He was just right here. You just missed him. See, that's Tadi. So even in the, he could have been like, I don't know who he is. He could have said some blatant lie. But what the scholars say is even in the case where you're allowed, like this man's life is on the line. So this is clearly a case where he can use something other than the truth to protect himself, right? But even in those situations, this is super important. Even in those situations, the point is to avoid speaking a lie even in those situations. Does that make sense? Like the Prophet ﷺ, in that example I gave, he said, your food is always good, right? Your food is always good. There's no lie in that. There's no lie in that, right? So these are examples. The Prophet ﷺ's food examples, the example of Maulana Qasim Nanotawi is a beautiful example. So even in the situation where we are able to speak other than what is the full truth, even in that we should just avoid speaking a blatant lie. The Prophet ﷺ, he actually said, And again, you really have to ask your intention in this. The Prophet ﷺ, he explained that the situations, and the scholars explain the situations that you're allowed to lie is, number one, bringing people together. Number two, in marital relations. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes everyone's like, oh my God, open a can of worms. But yeah, let's just skip that. Is that right? Can we just skip that? So like, they just give an example where it's just like, you can do ta'arif. You don't always have to speak the truth, right? The truth sometimes can hurt someone. Wifey, let me give an example, man. Oh, you know, wifey comes out, you know, huh? I should be careful, right? Well, if he comes out, she's like, does this look good on me, right? He's like, yeah, it looks great. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, sister. No, that's a bad one. I'm digging it deeper. The more I talk, the more I'm digging it deeper. This for real. Okay, let's just skip that. Can we skip this one, inshallah? You get the point. The point is, though, let me be real. The point is the heart of the other person. Let me say that. The point is the heart of the other person. Some people are so stuck to the truth, I got to speak the truth, that they speak the truth even though it breaks the heart of the other person. What are you doing? Great. Food is great. Alhamdulillah. Stuff like that. You know what I mean? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Number two of speaking truth. Now, this is deep. This is for our relationship with Allah. Imam Ghazali says the second level when it comes to speaking truth is yura'i ma'na sidq fil alfaz. He says that when you're speaking in prayer or dhikr or whatever, you should actually be looking at honesty in what you're actually saying. Let me give an example. Before you pray, there's like a dua you read. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi. I turn my face to Allah. Imam Ghazali says, sometimes you're saying those words, but you're thinking about that car, that thing, this thing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what he's saying is, when you're speaking words, think of the reality of those. He said, sometimes someone's praying, they're like, Allahu Akbar, but they're not feeling Allahu Akbar. Is that, you get what I'm saying? You're saying Allahu Akbar. What does Allahu Akbar mean? Allah is greater than everything. But the moment you're saying it, your mind is literally on something completely other than Allah. So the second level of truth in speech is that you take into consideration the meaning of what you're saying while you're saying it. And that's a game changer. I'm going to go to the next one, but he gave an example. And try this in your next prayer. When you're reading Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You do I worship, and only you do I ask for help. Sometimes, literally, we're not doing that. We're literally not on that level. So he's like, no, realize that you want truth in the words that you're saying throughout your ibadah. Does that make sense, inshallah ta'ala? Alhamdulillah. All right, number two. Number two was truth and intention. And this goes back to the self-deception I was talking about before. Imam Ghazali, he explains that when you say that you want to do something, he's like, make sure that intention is true. Like that's true. And now this actually goes back to the concept of ikhlas. We've talked about sincerity in so many lectures, but when you are looking at the reason why you're doing the action, he's like, be true in the niyyah. And the best example I can give you briefly, so we can go on to the next one, is the hadith that talks about three people. The hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said three people will be brought on the day of judgment. It's a very scary narration. Three people will be brought on the day of judgment. A scholar who studied the religion, someone who gave a lot of money for the sake of Allah, and number three was someone who fought and gave their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the scholar before all of creation, and he will say, what did you do with your life? How did you live your life? And the person will say, I spent my life becoming a scholar of the religion to elevate your name, to teach people about you, to teach people about your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what I did. And then Allah will say to this person, it's one of the most scary hadith, kadhab, kadhabta, you lie. See the word lie coming up. You're lying. Now, did he do that with his life? Yes, he did. The person was literally sitting on this chair or on the minbar giving lectures. He literally spent his life like that, or she. But Allah will say on the day of judgment, kadhabta, you're lying. You did it so that everyone could say sheikh or sheikha. وَقَدَ قِيلَ. And guess what? They said it already. Meaning you got what you wanted out of it. You wanted people to call you a sheikh? You wanted the people to look up to you? You got that, right? Okay, don't ask me for no reward then. The second one will be someone who gave wealth in the path of Allah. What did you do with your life? Oh, I earned money and I gave it for the sake of Allah. And they actually did. They actually built masajid. They actually helped people. But Allah will say, kadhabta, you're lying. And again, it goes back to the niyyah, the intention. So the second level that we need to really question our honesty is with our intentions. That's number two. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. Number three, honesty in your azam. The word Arabic azam means your resolve, what you intend to do. And there's a hadith which says that, you know, people say, Ya Allah, if you give me this much money, I'll do this with it. Ya Allah, if you give me this much knowledge, I'm going to do this. If you give me this, they make these promises, you can say, with themselves, resolve. So he's saying that be honest with your resolve, with yourself. If you say, Ya Allah, make sure that truly inside, the motivation behind pushing everything is that that thing that you resolve to do. So be honest about that. Number four, and this is one that I truly, truly struggle with till today. Number four, he says, honesty in fulfilling the promises that you make to others. Be honest about fulfilling the promises that you make to others. Listen to what Ghazali says. Meaning he talks about the psychology of why we give promises, but we don't follow through. Listen to what he says. He says, "في الوفاء بالعزم فإن النفس قد تسخو بالعزم في الحال." This is deep psychology of Imam Ghazali. He says, look, your nafs, it takes lightly the promise right now. It takes very lightly the promise right now. إذ لا مشقة في الوعد, because it's easy to promise. Yo, I'll call you later. I'll call you later. I'll hit you up later. I got you. Just text me. I'll hit you up later. He's like, the nafs finds that very easy to do. Like, it's there's no difficulty in promising you I'll do it later. وَالْعَزَمْ وَالْمُؤْنَةِ فِيهِ خَفِيفَ. He's like, the difficulty is so light. I'll do it later. I'll call you later. فَإِذَا حَقَّتْ حَقَائِكَ. When you do call the person, when later does come, حَسَلَتْ تَمَكِّنْ وَحَاجِ الشَّهَوَاتِ. All of these things happen. I got to do this. I got to do that. And now all of that resolve to actually do what you said is gone. You know what I realized about myself? And maybe this will help you. Wallahu a'lam. And I learned this from one of my colleagues. A lot of us don't like to disappoint people. A lot of us don't like to disappoint people. So what's the solution? Someone comes up to you like, yo, can we do this weekend? We're like, inshallah, hit me up. Hit me up. And I think what we all have to understand is, and I'm speaking to myself, man, you got to learn how to say no, man. You just got to learn how to be like, nah, I can't. And people appreciate that, yo. Don't you appreciate someone that was like, yo, I can't do it. Then the other person's like, yo, I got you. Just hit me up. Hit you up. Like, y'all been hitting this dude up for like 2 weeks. Got expectations. I'm expecting. It's like, come on, man. So this is something I think is really important for us to do is just learn how to, in the first thing, if you're not able, just be real and be like, I can't do it. I can't. And I realize it comes from a place of empathy. I'm telling you. Inside of all of us, it's like, I don't want to disappoint my man. I don't want to disappoint my whoever. But just realize this. The disappointment later when you don't keep your word will be worse than the disappointment in the first moment. The disappointment later will be far worse than if you were just like, nah, I can't do it. I can't do it. You can hear me? Huh? Oh. Okay. So Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, oh, it's almost time to break the fast, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Bismillah. We're going to end, inshallah, just a few minutes, just about till 20, inshallah. So Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's like, listen, realize that the promise is just as heavy as the fulfillment of the promise. And so be honest in what you promise that you're going to do for people. That's number four. Let's go on to the next one. The next one is a very important one. It's honesty in your actions. It's honesty in your actions. Imam Ghazali says, وَهُوَ أَنْ يَجْتَحِدْ حَتَّى لَا يَدِلُّ أَعْمَالَهُ الظَّاهِرَ عَلَىٰ أَمَنٍ فِي بَاطِنِهِ. He's like, don't let your external actions indicate to something that's not inside, yo. I'm going to say that again. Don't let your external actions indicate to something that's not truly inside of you. Now, hear me out on this. He says that لَا بِأَنْ يَتْرُكُ الْأَعْمَالِ. You know what Shaytan says when he hears me say that to you? Shaytan's like, see, stop fronting. Just be you. Imam Ghazali goes, no, don't leave the action, work on the inner. You get what I'm saying? It makes sense, right? Don't leave the action. Shaytan is like, see, don't pray. There you go. Why are you fronting? Don't do this action. Don't do that. Because you're fronting. It's all fake. Imam Ghazali says, no, 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 that's Shaytan. Don't leave the action. Work on the inner to make it go in line with the action. That's what we need to do. So he says, وَلَكِنْ بِأَنْ يَسْتَجِرُّ الْبَاطِنِ. Force. He uses the word يَسْتَجِرَّ. It means like pull. Like force the inner to match the external. Like, no, I'm not going to give up this external form. This is where I want to be. I'm going to pull myself, the inner, so that it's in line with that external action. Now, here's the key. You remember we talked about the concept of riya, like showing off? We talked about riya a lot, right? Riya means where you're just like completely showing off in your actions. Imam Ghazali says, look, this is so, so profound. Imam Ghazali says, look, when the external doesn't match the internal, like unintentionally, this is a lack of honesty. But when the external doesn't match the internal on purpose, this is riya or showing off. Let's do this. Okay. So there's this funny story, right? Of this man who walks into a masjid in like the balad, okay? So it's like not with like doors like these. He walks into the masjid, right? And he starts to pray just like some nawafit, some extra prayers. And as he starts to pray, he hears the door open. You heard this one before? He hears the door open. So all of a sudden, he starts to add a little bit more of khushu in his prayer. You know what I mean? His back got a little straighter. You know what I mean? His head hung a little deeper. You know what I mean? Eyes maybe closed a little bit. You know, there's a level that, you know, that happens, right? When someone walks in and, you know, sees you praying. Na'udhubillah, it shouldn't be like that. So when he finishes his prayer, he looks back. A dog had strolled into the masjid. So the point is, though, here's the point. That the external form, when you intentionally give a indication to something that's not inside on purpose, that's riya. That's riya. That's riya. May Allah protect us. That's showing off. But when it's just not matching up, you're trying, but it's not matching up. That's a lack of siddiq, truth. You get the difference? All right, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, let's keep going, inshallah ta'ala. So we talked about a'mal. That was number five. And now here's something I want to share with you from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a beautiful dua. If you're struggling to make your external match your internal, I want you to learn this dua I'm going to teach you right now. I know the dates are passing around, but please focus on this real quick. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to make this dua. Allahumma ja'al sarirati khayran min alaniyati waj'al alaniyati saliha. This is a beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, "Oh God, make my internal state better than my external state." You don't want your external better than your internal. Everyone's like, "Yo, you a big sheikh. Yo, you got mad knowledge. Yo, you pious." And the internal, you're like, "Man." So the Prophet would say, "Oh Allah, make my internal sarirati khayrun min alaniyati. Make my internal better than the external. But waj'al alaniyati saliha. But make my external good. Make my external good." It's a beautiful dua. Please write that dua down, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma ja'al sarirati khayrun min alaniyati. Oh Allah, make my internal disposition better than my external disposition. And you know what? You know what this dua does? I know we have to stop for prayer in a minute. Just give me a second. You know what this dua does? Our society is so focused on the appearances of things. We are TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever. Facebook old, but you get my point. We are so focused on the filters. Focus on the internal. Focus on that. This dua forces you to focus on the internal. How about this one? What's the dua that you read when you look in the mirror? The Prophet ﷺ taught us a dua for everything. When you look into the mirror, what's the dua? Huh? Allahumma kama hasanta khalqi fa ahsin or fa hasin khuluqi. Let me translate. The Prophet ﷺ said, whenever you look in the mirror, mashallah, some handsome dudes here, mashallah, 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 mashallah. Everyone, mashallah, okay? Mashallah. So whenever you look in it, brothers be like, yo, what's up with Shay? Here you look at me. Yeah, handsome brothers, man, mashallah. I look up to y'all, man. Alhamdulillah, my man right there. Alhamdulillah. So listen, whenever you look in the mirror and you see your beautiful form, and everyone, you look at yourself, everybody, my shaykh used to say, everybody thinks they look good. You know what I mean? You look in the mirror like, yo, I'm looking good today. You know, the Prophet ﷺ taught a dua. This is such a beautiful dua. Allahumma kama hasanta khalqi. Oh Allah, just as you have beautified my external form. While you're looking in the mirror, you say, oh Allah, make my internal form beautiful and better. So while you're doing that, you're actually forcing yourself to be like, Mikael, stop focusing on the external. Focus on this right here. Alhamdulillah. Okay, next one. So the last one, and we'll conclude so that we can salli, inshallah, and we have food for everyone. Alhamdulillah. The last one. So in Islam, and in this course, we've been talking about different aspects of Islamic spirituality, like fear of God, hope of God, like trust in God, tawakkul. All of these are considered in the terminologies of spiritual development. They call them maqams or stations, places you reach. Okay, you feel me? A maqam, a place you reach. So what he's saying is, whenever you talk about fear of God, let's just use fear for example, fear of God. Now, everyone in this room has the basic level of fear of God. We all fear hellfire. We all fear displeasing Allah. That's why we're Muslim. That's why we believe in Allah. That's why we pray. There's this base fear. But what he says is, have you really, really, really touched the meaning of that quality? Do you really have tawakkul in Allah? Do you really have trust in God? Do you really have hope in God's mercy? Is it really there? And if you look, you truly haven't reached that state. So what he's saying is be honest and be true about reaching the furthest point of that quality of Islamic development, whether it be fear, whether it be trust in God, whether it be hope in God, whether it be love of God. Do we love Allah? Everyone in this room loves Allah without a shadow of a doubt. But have you like reached the true love of Allah? Not yet. So when you realize that there are things in my life I love more, then you'll be like, man, I'm not true in my love. Right? Right? Yo, if Zoja, she asks you, do you love me? Like, yeah, I love you. Do you love me more than that thing right there? That car, that house, that job, that this, that. Your mom? No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm trolling too much today. No, seriously, there's levels of that love, right? So similarly, when it comes to love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all have that base love of God. But what we really need to ask ourselves, do I love Allah more than everything? And I'm gonna share one hadith and we'll end it here. One day, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, I love this hadith. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, one day he comes up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's like, Ya Allah, I love you more than everything, Ya Rasulullah. I love you more than everything, Ya Rasulullah. You name it, I love it more. I love you more than it. But then he was true to, he said, but you know what? I don't love you more than my own self. So the Prophet said to Umar, no, you haven't reached yet. Like you're not there yet. So the hadith says he hung his head like, and he thought for a moment. And then he looked up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than I love my own self. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, Fal'an, Ya Umar, now Umar, you've reached true love. Now you've reached. My point is he had love, But that love could have been elevated, and he realized it wasn't true until I had reached the furthest pinnacle of that love. With every quality, fear, love, hope, trust, certainty, all of them, you have to ask yourself, have I truly reached certainty? Have I truly reached love in all of these things? So these are the six levels of honesty. These are the six levels of speaking the truth or being true that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speech, intention, resolve, fulfilling promises, actions, and truly reaching the states of your spiritual development, inshallah ta'ala.